Chaim.
You know, so I was mentioning to the Rav while we were singing a little bit, I said that this is the second time that we're together, and I still don't have the schus really to hear from him. So it's like mamish a little bit torturous for me to have to hear myself again in his presence. So I have no choice. At some point, I have to come back here and just like put on, you know, those like, you know, glasses with like a mustache or something on the back. You know what I mean? And I'll be able to listen. But until that point. So first of all, big ashkech to Dave. Nuts. I'll tell you why. You know, me and Dave go way back. The first real chassid I ever met, not you. The first real chassid I met was your grandfather. And like your grandfather really, at a real young age, made a real imprint on me. And like Yosef Engel, you know, it's a mamash fiery chassid. And like whenever I think of like for Tzaychus a Yid, you know, like an old time Yid, a European Yid, I think of your grandfather, amongst others. So in that schos, the fact that you were such a major part of putting this together, and the schos of your grandfather has such a, you know, I hear the name Engel, that's what it means to me. So let me share with you a little bit of a way of entering into Pesach that sort of a little bit captures the whole inyan of Derech HaChassidus, the way the Baal Shem Tov Bechlal. We'll begin like this. You know, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in Tanakh as far as when we compare and contrast Yetzias Mitzrayim with the coming of Mashiach. Which experience is greater? So on the one hand, there's a pasuk, it's quoted in the Gemara a couple times. The pasuk says that when the coming of Mashiach happens, the Jewish people are not going to describe Hashem as the God that took us out of Egypt. It's going to be already small potatoes. We're going to talk about Hashem as the one that took us out of America, out of Europe, out of Asia, Africa. That's the God that we're going to be talking about. So that pasuk indicates that, again, when you compare Yetzias Mitzrayim with Mashiach, Yetzias Mashiach is so much greater. Yet there's another pasuk which says, describing the coming of Mashiach, Ki Yimei Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim Aren Neflois. That's similar to how we left Mitzrayim, Kimei Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim, so Hashem will show us wonders also with the coming of Mashiach. Now we know in Torah, whenever one thing is compared to something else, what it's being compared to is always the ikar, is always superior, is always the more fundamental inyan. So Kimei Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim, a little bit like what was going on in Mitzrayim, that's what Hashem is going to show us with the coming of Mashiach. That pasuk indicates that what's greater, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So which one is it? That's question number one. Okay, we'll put that to the side, and we'll get back to it. Maisa, one of the mitzvahs of Pesach night, one of the more fundamental mitzvahs of Pesach night, is what we call the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's many mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah of eating matzah and mar, and dalad kaisis, and all the things that we do, the things that we used to do, the things that we will do, Karim Pesach, and so on. And then there's the mitzvah of discussing, of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And to a certain degree, that's not just one of the mitzvahs, to a certain degree, that is the ikar, that's the fundamental mitzvah that everything else is really framed by. Even matzah that we eat, so we say in the Haggadah, matzah zeshanu oichlim, al shumma. So even the eating of the matzah is in the context of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mar zeshanu oichlim, and so on. So everything is sort of framed by that. And what's so strange is that in the Haggadah, everyone knows in the Haggadah, when the Haggadah describes or sort of begins to sort of pinpoint the nature of this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it introduces it with the following back and forth, Yachol Meresh Chodesh, that there's a thought that maybe the mitzvah of speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim really should start already from Meresh Chodesh Nisan. So the Haggadah says, no, that's not true, because it says Bavur Zeh and so on, that it should be the night of Pesach. There's no such havamina like that when it comes to eating matzah. There's no havamina that the mitzvah of eating matzah is ready from Rosh Chodesh. There's no havamina that shaking lulav and esrog is from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. There's no such havamina. The only mitzvah we have such a thing that there's a havamina, that there's a mitzvah of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Pesach night, but really it could start already earlier. Maybe it should start earlier. Yochum Rosh Chodesh. What type of havamina is that? And if it's just a havamina, why are we saying in the Haggadah? Like, what is that? So it must be, it's clear, that thought of Yochel Meresh Chodesh, that the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should, or there was a thought, it would make sense to us that it should start right from Meresh Chodesh, that thought, that havamina, tells us something about the nature of the mitzvah. And it's very important to know the nature of the mitzvah because that's the most fundamental. That's the framing of the entire Yontif of Seder night is framed by that mitzvah, speaking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And there's something about that mitzvah that lends itself to be connected to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we better know about that. It's like, what is that? What's that nekuda? Okay. So let's speak for just a few minutes about the nature of that mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And like I said, it's fundamental. All the mitzvahs of Pesach night really are revolving around this. So I'll share with you a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah. Perek Zayin of Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, that's where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now we know that the truth is it's well known that every single day there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, of mentioning the Exodus every single day. Right? We do that by Kriyishma, the morning and at night. But, you know, every single day it's not with the whole Arichis and the whole, you know, system in place for Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's something unique to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now usually the way it's usually explained when we're talking about comparing the obligation of every single day to talk about the Exodus versus Pesach night, it's usually in terms of how much description do we give to it. That, you know, Pesach night, we have to talk about it in question and answer form. You have to speak it to someone else. You have to start with the negative and with the positive. But the truth is, those are all details. Those are all details about how you go about communicating the story. But in the Rambam, it's clear that there's a much more fundamental uniqueness to the nature of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim Pesach night, more than the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim daily. This is the words of the Rambam. Mitzvah sasei shel Torah, says the Rambam, there's a mitzvah from the Torah on Pesach night. L'saper benisim v'neflois shenasu lavetzeinu b'mitzrayim b'lel chamisho asa benisim. The Rambam does not say that there's a mitzvah Pesach night to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say that. The Rambam says the mitzvah Pesach night is to talk about the wonders and miracles that took place to us when we were leaving Mitzrayim Pesach night. In other words, what the Rambam is telling us succinctly is that every single day there's a mitzvah to talk about the Exodus, the fact that we're no longer in Egypt. But Pesach night, the mitzvah is not to talk about, seemingly, it's not to talk about the fact that we left Mitzrayim. It's to talk about how we left Mitzrayim. That instead of the Rebbe Mishlom snapping his fingers and just, we're not in Mitzrayim anymore, the mitzvah is to talk about the fact that Hashem decided to take us out of Mitzrayim, the Nisim u'b'nifloyis, with wonders and miracles. That's the nature of the mitzvah. That's not just the detail, that's a fundamental difference. So it sounds like from the Rambam, the mitzvah of Pesach night fundamentally is not even talking about the Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's talking about the fact that Hashem decided to perform wonders and miracles in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, if you take a step back and we think about that for a second, it's very, very odd. It's very, very odd. The fact, it is true that obviously Hashem used wonders and miracles to take us out. But why is that so fundamental that the entire Pesach night should be revolving around that? I mean, the whole, the Ten Makis and all the Nisim and Neflois, it was a Hechatimsa. It's a means towards an end. But what's the goal? Would the Jewish people be satisfied with having the Eser Makis and just staying in Mitzrayim like that? Obviously not. The whole inyan of the wonders and miracles is in order to allow us to eventually exit Mitzrayim. So the Ikar is to leave Mitzrayim. But yet somehow the Mitzvah Pesach night, which is the yontif of celebrating the whole story, the focal point is what? Not the fact that we left. The focal point is the fact that Hashem did miracles while we were leaving. Logically, it's very counterintuitive. That's number one. But more, I guess, more specifically than that, that's not really the feel that you get when you read the Haggadah. It is true that the Haggadah talks about the Eser Makis and definitely talks about the miracles, but the feel of the Haggadah is, Avodim Ayudim Avar Mitzrayim, we were slaves, we're no longer slaves. And if the Rabbanu Shem didn't take us out, we'd still be slaves. And the whole Indian is talking about how we left Mitzrayim. The focal point is not the fact that Hashem did miracles during that process. It doesn't feel like that in the Haggadah. And the truth is more than that, even the Rambam himself, the next halacha of the Rambam says the following halacha, that we know the way one should fulfill this mitzvah is primarily v'agad l'bincha, right, by telling it to your children. So says the Rambam, so what you have to communicate depends on the level of the child and how much they can receive. So ben chacham, an intelligent kid, so you talk more about whatever it is that you have to talk about. Well, when you talk about to a little kid that doesn't have the ability to understand all the details, then you have to say, says the Rambam, say very succinctly and very like tzimzach to the point. And what is the point? So the Rambam interestingly says like this. He says, Ketzad im hoya kadin. So what should you say if you have, you're dealing with a very small kid? So Omer loy, so you should say the following thing. Bini, my son. Kulanu hayinu avadim. We were all slaves to in Mitzrayim. Kamoi shivchazu. Like this maid. I guess, you know, you have help in the house. Like this person. We were a slave like this person. Like kamoi evid zeh. I'm not pointing to any of you. I'm just saying. Kamoi evid zeh. Like this shivchar, this evid. Ubalayl hazeh. And then this night, podai son HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem redeemed us. V'yatzun alecheres and took us out of freedom. That's the succinct line to say. 1 second. I thought the Rambam opened up the chapter by saying that what's the mitzvah of the night? Not to talk about the fact that we left. Yeah. It's about the nisim and the neflois. So I understand that for a small child, you can't go into all great detail and great length. So you have to say it very, very succinctly. But you have to say the point succinctly. The Rambam, when he gives his succinct message, he seems to ignore how he started the chapter. The whole mitzvah is talking about what? Not the Exodus. Talk about the nisim and the neflois. So what should the succinct line be to the child? That my kin, my little one, we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out by doing crazy stuff. That should be the line, or something like that. But the whole point, which is the nisim and the neflois, the Rambam leaves out. So what's going on over here? So here's the nekud. Of course, the ikar mitzvah of Pesach night is to talk about the fact that we left Mitzrayim. That's pashut. But what the Rambam is telling us is a big secret, which is that the fact that we left with Nisim and Neflois means that the Exodus was different. Of course it's about the Exodus. Of course it's the fact that we're no longer in Mitzrayim. But there's two ways not to be in Mitzrayim. There's not being in Mitzrayim because Hashem snaps his fingers and angels not in Mitzrayim. And there's another way how we got out of Mitzrayim, which was through wonders and miracles. And the very fact that we left Mitzrayim through wonders and miracles created a different result. The result is not the same because of the fact that it came with Nisim and Neflois. And so the mitzvah is to talk about the fact that we left Mitzrayim, but there's a different type of exiting. There's a different type of reality that the Jewish people now embrace when we leave Mitzrayim because of the fact that we left with Nisim and Neflois. And the Rambam is as we'll see in a second, I'm not explaining this yet, but that short sentence that the Rambam says to say to the child captures this inyan. So what's the difference? Now let's explain for a couple minutes. What's talk of the difference between what Yitzis Mitzrayim would have resulted in or how what Yitzis Mitzrayim would have mean if it wasn't with Nisim and Neflois? Versus what it actually was and what it actually is because it happened with Nisim and Neflois. So it's like this, you know, in Haggadah, one of the lines of the Haggadah, you know, everyone knows that the way the Haggadah works is that once it sort of gets into the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it uses the model of Arami Aviravi, right? Those few psukim that the farmer says when he brings Bikurim, right? So the Haggadah uses that sort of as the springboard to talk about the story. So one of the lines over there is that the farmer says that he's talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he says Hashem took us out b'mayra gadol. There was an experience of great dread, of great mayra, of great fear. Mayra gadol, says the Haggadah. Mayra gadol is what? It's a gilu shechina, the revelation of the shechina hakdosh. Okay, what's the shechina? What does that mean? What does it mean shechina? You say the word all the time, shechina. The galus of the Shechina HaKdosha. And there's more of a specific question that Mefarshim actually ask, is that Shechina is Lashon Nekeva. Shechina is a feminine. Moira Gadol is masculine. Both words are Moira is with an Aleph. Moira Gadol is masculine. So of all words, all descriptions to describe the experience of Gilui Shechina, why are we using masculine? We should use something feminine. Moira Gadolot should be something like that. Moira Gadol. So it's like this. I said I was going to share something in Chassidus. So I'm not going to share just a little bit of Chassidus. I'm going to go all the way in. Okay, so this is Mamish. The Rabbanu Shloilem himself is completely unknown. The Rabbanu Shloilem, the Rabbanu Shloilem himself is unknown. The Rabbanu Shloilem, the essence, we never talk about. But the first side, Kiviyachol of Elikos, the first side of Elikos that the Rabbanu Shalom allows us even to reference, not directly, but even indirectly, is what's called Ein Sof, the one that does not have an end. So even the Arizal, in the beginning of Sefer Eitz Chaim, and all of Pnimius HaTorah is built on that, the Arizal says that the first revelation of Elikus in reality, it's not God himself, but the first revelation of Elikus in reality was Ein Sof. The fact that Hashem revealed himself as being an entity that's without beginning, without end. Absolutely infinite. That side of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Zohar describes as Les Machshava Tefisa Beklal, no mind can grasp God. It's completely, it's Ein Sof. Now, as the Arizal says, that, you know, that side of God, that's Ein Sof, is Ein Sof. So it's very unrelatable. That Ein Sof, L'chaira, can't be experienced in this physical world, in this tangible, in this very limited space. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam therefore reveals himself in a different way. In a different way, with a different term, that's called the Shekhinah. What does the Shekhinah mean? The word Shekhinah, which means to reside in. The Shekhinah means that the Rabbanu Shel Olam hides, kivyachol, his infinite side, and reveals a side of himself, kivyachol, that could fit in our framework, that could fit in our world. And that side of God that's giving life to all things, that's called the Shekhinah. And by the way, a mashal to this is every single one of us, our neshamas. So where's your neshama right now? It's inside of you, right? But the truth is, the part of your neshama that's inside of you is a very, very small piece of what your neshama is. Imagine for a second the biggest iceberg that you could possibly imagine. And then imagine something bigger than that. The biggest iceberg you could possibly imagine. Now take a little razor blade and shave off a top little piece from that huge iceberg. That big iceberg is your neshama. The little shaving that you took off, that's the part of your neshama that's enlivening your body right now. So just like it is with each and every one of us, there's a part of our neshama which is, relatively speaking, Ein Sof, mamish, huge. And then there's a part of the neshama that's able to fit in your bloodstream, that's able to fit in your emotions, in your heart, in your mind, to enliven you, that allows you to feel things, that feels things with you. When you stub your toe, your neshama feels it, but not the iceberg part of your neshama. The part of your neshama that feels the stubbing of the toe is the part of the neshama that fits in your toe. That's a small little piece. So kivyachol, the derech mashal, so too it is with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is infinite, but the infinite side of God can't fit in a finite space, kivyachol. So Rabbanu Shel Olam therefore has to say, you know what, my infinite space is going to remain in infinity, in that higher dimension of reality. What I'm going to allow, the part of myself, kivyachol, the Rabbanu Shel Olam says, that I'm going to allow to enter into the world, to enliven the world, to feel the pain of the world. That when the world stubs its toe, I feel its pain. That's called the Shekhinah. You know, the Jewish people are not just the people. There's a code word in Tanakh. Whenever you find in Tanakh or in Chazal the word Knesset Yisrael, that's the Shekhinah. There is one nation on earth that is not just in line, not just sensitive to the Shekhinah, Daisha, but is the Shekhinah, Kviyoch. The collective whole of the Jewish people is God's presence as it fits in planet Earth. That's why we fit in planet Earth. We stub our toes all the time, but we fit in planet Earth. We are the Shekhinah. Every single Jew is a limb, is an extension of the Shekhinah. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Makkos, it's famous that when a Jew, even someone that dies in Bezdin, that's killed in Bezdin, it's obviously not a, you know, you don't have his picture on your wall, but such a Jew like that, or like, you know, how the Belzerov used to call, a Yid that doesn't wear a bin of Tom Tefillin, you know. So such a Yid, Chazal say that when he's killed in Bezdin, because of his evil, so Shekhinah Mayim, what does the Shekhinah say? The Shekhinah says, my head is hurting, my arm is hurting. So the Jewish people are the Shekhinah. So what is Golus Mitzrayim? What was Golus? Golus was, the Golus of the Jewish people means the Golus of the Shekhinah. It means the Shekhinah is in Golus. It means God's presence, God's divine energy that's filling this planet, that's limited to the space of this planet, is suffering because of the problems of this planet, because of the coarseness of this planet. And then the Rabbeinu Shem decides to take us out of Gaul. So how does the Rabbeinu Shem want to do that? So there's two models how that could happen. The Rabbeinu Shem could snap his fingers and say, you know what, all that ugliness that's called Parai and Mitzrayim, all that stuff, you know what, just get out of the way. Get out of the way, let the Shechina just do its thing. But you know what that would result in? The Shechina is still the same limited presence. It's just that the stuff that was making the Shechina crazy until this point goes away. That's not how the Rabbeinu Shem decided to take us out of Mitzrayim. What was the site of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The site of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that Hashem took us out, the Nisim Ubenifloys. What does it mean, Nisim Ubenifloys? What does it mean when Hashem does a miracle? Like, what's the mechanics of that? It's not the pshat that Hashem just says, you know what, until now, I was, you know, gravity was a good idea. I'm just going to, like, stall that for a minute. That's not the way Nisim Ubenifloys works. The site of a Nes is the Rabbeinu Shem revealing the following truth. You know, the Gemara says, a klal, how do you know if someone loves you? How do you know if someone loves you? If they say they love you, they could be lying. How do you know if someone loves you? So the Gemara says, a klal. The klal is, ahava dechekes es abasar. When a person loves someone, then they're willing to put themselves in a small space because of that person that they love. Ahava dechekes es abasar. Love forces big things into small spaces. The soyed that was revealed with Yetzias Mitzrayim was that the Shechina, despite the fact that the Shechina means a small side of God's presence, a presence of Elikus, a nation called the Jewish people, that seemed to fit in planet Earth. The soyed of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Ahava Dechekes Es Abasar, that God, who the side of God which was Ein Sof, the infinite side of God, which you thought until now was disconnected, so to speak, or irrelevant to the Shechina. The side of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that the Shechina was shown to be mamish infinite. That at the same time the divine presence fills this world, but at the same time is bigger than this world. This is what Nisim and Nifloyis are. A miracle happens when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam somehow injects into the Shechina, which is the life force of this world, somehow injecting into the Shechina the side of himself which is bigger than this world. When something bigger than this world comes into this world, then the rules get bent and things go haywire. The side of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim Unifloyis, was not the pshat that Hashem just got rid of Mitzrayim, like pushes away the problems and allows the Jewish people to finally just be themselves again. No, no, no. The side of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the injection, the yichud of the Ein Sof with the Shechina HaKadosh. It was the emergence of the truest, of the deepest truth, which is that the Shechina HaKadosh herself, even though it's true that the Shechina means the Hashem's presence that fills all the nooks and crannies of this world, and the little piece of your neshama that enlivens your body, which means it's small, it's tiny, and it has to fit into all the inyonim of your life. But the site of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Benis Mefleis, was that even though that's true, Ahava Dechekes Es Abasar, Hashem loves us so much that somehow He's willing and able to fit His infinite self into His finite self, Kaviyoch. This is why you find in the Sfarim, there's a line that's called, and by the Sfarim you'll find this, by the Mekubal, and this is the Tachlis of all things, is Yichud Kutcha Brichu Shchinte, to experience what's called a Yichud between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. With the Chas V'Shalom, we believe in one God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a term that describes the infinite side of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that's holy and blessed. Kedusha means that which is always beyond you. If you think you understand something, Kadosh means beyond that. Baruch Hu means the source of blessing. It means the one that's the source, the one that everything comes from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. The Shechina means the part of God that fits in the world. Yichud Kedusha Baruch Hu Shechinte is the secret of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is why the Rambam is telling us that the nature of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just something that we left Mitzrayim, but it's that we left Benisim Neflois. This is how, when the Rambam sums it up in that sentence, he's mamish hitting the point. What's the language of the Rambam? The Rambam says, you tell your kid, just like the Shivcha, this Eved that was enslaved, we were enslaved, and what happened? So Rambam adds a couple lines, a couple words. He says, Padai son HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem redeemed us, the Yitzun Lecheiris, and took us out to freedom. Why the redundant? You're trying to say it as succinctly as possible. because he's a little kid. So what should the language be? Yeah, this slave, this maidservant, that was like us. And the Yitzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there, so Hashem took us out of freedom. No, no, no. The Rambam adds the Lashon. Poda Yitzion HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem redeemed us. V'yatzon l'cheres. You see, since Yitzias Mitzrayim took place beneath the Mefloyes, then you know what Yitzias Mitzrayim meant? It's not the pshat that we broke out of Mitzrayim. Pshat is, it was shown that Mitzrayim was small potatoes. It was nothing. We outgrew the Golos, you understand? It became clear to us that we're so much bigger than everything else around us, despite the fact that we fit in the space of Mitzrayim. But we're so much bigger than Mitzrayim that it became a joke. And that's what the Pasuk says, right? Hashem says in Parashas Bo, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to send wonders and miracles, and everyone's going to talk about it for generations. Esa Asher Salalti Mitzrayim, that I made a joke of Mitzrayim. Why is Hashem all of a sudden being so, that's not nice. The goal, you want the Jidin to come out, get him to come out. You want to make a mockery of Egypt. The answer is, that's not a side effect. That's not a secondary zach. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the pshat that the Jewish people realized that the Shechina is Ein Sof. And as I said, the Jewish people are the Shechina, which means that we looked at ourselves differently. And the way the Geula took place is by the Jewish people realizing that Golus doesn't fit us anymore. Listen, we all go through this, right? There are certain types of Yetzaras, for example, certain types of exiles that we experience that we put in a lot of effort to fight. But then there's other Yetzaras that you just outgrow, right? So when you're a little kid, there's a Yetzahara of like stealing candy from your classmates, yeah? Did anyone, so we don't do that anymore, right? But did any one of us like work on that? And like sort of like we broke that taiva? No. So what happened? The answer is that's ridiculous. You just outgrew it. The secret of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to simply outgrow Golus. And that happens beneath him when it flies. When the Rambam says that added word, that Hashem pada isano, Hashem redeemed us and took us out to Cheres. Pada isano means like when someone is redeeming something. If you have something that, someone bought something from you, you want to redeem it. So it means you give back the money and you get the thing back. When I give the money back and I redeem, when I've put the money for pidyon down, so then at that moment, that thing that I'm about to redeem, it already doesn't belong to the guy. It's already disconnected. When I take it back, I'm bringing it back home. Padai sanu means that it wasn't like the Rebbeinu Shlom, like it wasn't a forced thing, like Hashem schlepped us out of Golus. Hashem created a reality where it's unbecoming for us. Like, of course, we're not going to steal candy from a like it's not Iranian anymore. That's Padai son of Yatzon Lucheres. This is what it means when I asked the question in the beginning: so what's greater, the coming of Mashiach or Yitzias Mitzrayim? Of course, the coming of Mashiach is greater. The wonders and the special effects that's going to be with Mashiach is going to be much greater than Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, what does it mean? Kimei Tzeis Lameretz Nareinu Flois. The answer is there's two ways for Mashiach to come. There's a way of Geula with Midas Hadin, with difficulties, which means that we're stuck in Golus and Hashem has to pry open the prison of Golus to get us out of there. That's difficult. We don't want that. What we want is a Geula Barachimim. Barachimim G'dayil Makapsech. We want a Geula to come nice and easy, almost as if it's unnoticeable. How does a Gul Barachim come? When the Jewish people just simply outgrow it. At no point in time, like I said, there's no point in time where you can pinpoint the day and say, you know what, where you just stopped stealing candy from your friends. There was no point like that. There was no moment of like, you know, there was no Ni'il on Yom Kippur. You said, I'm a Kabbalah myself, I'm not going to do it anymore. It wasn't like that. When you have to fight a Yetzar in such a way where it's like with a Kabbalah, like an official proclamation, that's, so then what? Then the Yetzar knows about it. And it's going to fight it. That's not so pashut. That's not a gula that we want. We want a gula that we just outgrow it. It's like it's not even a thing anymore. When we talk about Bias HaMashiach similar to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's not saying similar in terms of like how the special effects. But Kimei Tzeis Chemeretz Nareinu Nefloyes, just like Yitzias Mitzrayim took place, Benisim Uvu Nefloyes, it took place through the Jewish people outgrowing Golus, and Mitzrayim became a joke. So that's what Mashiach is going to be. That's the Gul Barachimim. This is what Pnimis HaTorah does. This is what learning Torah with a deeper lens does. This is what davening with a deeper lens does. Looking at a yid in a deeper way, this is what it does. You know, there's a line in the Zohar Kaddish that Elyonavi told Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the Sifran Da, with your Sefer HaZohar, Yafkun Yisom in Galusa, Barachami. With Pnimis HaTorah, with secrets of Torah, the Jews are going to get out of Galus with Rachamim. Really? What, without the Zohar, Mashiach is not going to come? Of course Mashiach is going to come. The Chiddush is Barachamim. Because there's two types of Yiddishkeit. There's two types of ways of learning. There's two types of ways of engaging in all of Avodas Hashem, which is, one way is, I'm a regular guy. I'm a human being like everyone else is, and I just have certain things that I do that are different and are special and holy. V'chulu v'chulu. That's just getting out of Mitzrayim. But then there's a way of engaging with Yiddishkeit where it's, no, one second. Where the Yiddishkeit is teaching me and revealing to me that I'm not a human being. I'm a piece of the Shechinah HaKadosha in human form. That's what I am. And every single second of my life, I'm being sent to this moment to bring infinity to this moment and to reveal Elikus in this place. So then the Yetzer, you know what the Yetzer then becomes? It's unbecoming. And by the way, I'll say in parentheses, and even if a person does fall into a low place, because at that moment they have the Hesech Hadas and the Ruach Shtos comes in and they fall to something lower, okay, so you go to the mikvah and weiter. But it doesn't, it's not Teufis Mokim, you understand? It doesn't grab a person. It's like, whatever. You know, people call me up, they ask me if like Yetzer, you know, when I get phone calls from people that are not like, you know, people that I know, it's always like bracing myself. Maybe it's like the guy is, who knows what. But they, you know, and a lot of times like people call me and ask like, you know, I should do a tshuva and this and yon. And, you know what I tell people? I says like, stop thinking about it so much. Go right. Like, it's just, you're giving a chashivas. Like, stop. Like, you're bigger than that. Just go. That's a gul baracha, man. Just outgrow it. Realize that you're bigger than it and finished. You know, there's a call, just, I don't have any clocks over here, but the call is like this. You know, the Sefer Yetzir says that every truth, every reality, it's on purpose, yeah. Every reality expresses itself in three dimensions. Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam Shana Nefesh. Everything exists in time, and it parallels its existence in space, and also in the soul. The Shechina, this inyan of the Shechina, also is Olam Shana Nefesh. The time that is the time that's shining with this brilliance of the Shechina being Ein Sof is Pesach night. That's Mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there's another time that this Inyan is shining, which is a little bit more frequent, which is every Shabbos. What's every Shabbos? You know, it's an amazing thing. For Erev Shabbos, everyone, it doesn't matter if Shabbos could be 8 o'clock at night, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone knows that there's a lot of lachas, a lot of tears on Erev Shabbos. What's the feeling Erev Shabbos? The feeling Erev Shabbos is that I have 3 days worth of stuff that I have to fit into one day. That's the site of Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Seven is Malchus, that's the Shechina. Seven is always a code word, a number that corresponds to the Shechina. What's Shabbos? Why are we? To celebrate that Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world on Sunday too. What's the secret of Shabbos? The secret of Shabbos is that Hashem didn't just create the world with just the finite side called the Shechina. The secret of Shabbos is that the infinite one himself fills that space of the Shechina. Therefore, the Hachana to Shabbos always feels that you have a finite day, one day, but so much packed into it. The Rambam says, interesting, the Rambam's language is, like I started the parak, there's a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, to talk about the Nisim and the Nefloyes that happened on Pesach. The Rambam says, Shenemar, Zachar Sayyoy Mazer, Asher Yitzas Mitzrayim, remember the day that you left Mitzrayim. Says the Rambam, Kumoy Shenemar, Zachar Sayyoy Mashabbos Lakadshay. What in the world? What does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim have to do with Shabbos? All the Achronim ask, what's the Rambam talking about? What are you referencing Shabbos for? The answer is, that's the side. The Shechina HaKadosha is being shown to be full of Ein Sof. That's what Shabbos is. That's also, what is this inning in the soul? That's the Jewish people. That we're bigger than we think we are. We're not from this place. We fit here, but we're not really from here. We're bigger than the place that we sit in. And then there's another side of the Shekhinah that reveals itself in space. What's the place, or I should say, what's the object that is the representation of the Shekhinah that looks pretty small compared to its counterparts, but is in truth deeper and bigger than anything else? That's the moon. The moon is always the reflection of the Shekhinah HaKadosh of Malchus, Dov Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. What do we say in Rosh Chodesh? The Beis Din, to make the new moon, they point to the, they say what? Kizeh Rei V'Kadesh L'Pat, Chazal say, means they look, they refer to the moon, they look at the moon through the Eidim, whatever it is, and they say, Mekudesh Mekudesh. It's holy, it's Mekudesh means a code word for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means Ein Sof. The moon, which is so tangible compared to the sun, is like brilliant, like we saw the other day, right? You can't really look at it, you know, it's impossible to look at. But the moon is very visible, it's very relatable, it fits within our ability to grasp. People even got to the moon. So the moon is within our tfisa. And yet, what's Rish Chodesh? Mekudesh, Mekudesh. What you think you grasp, you cannot grasp. Because the Hava Dechekes is a Basar, Hashem is able to fit His infinite self into the finite. Yachum Rish Chodesh. So therefore, there's a Hava Amina. You might think that what? That you should talk about Yitzis from some Sipri, Yitzis from some what? Should start from when? From Rish Chodesh. Okay. Talmud Loimer, you have to do a Pesach night. But the very fact that we think that it should start from Rosh Chodesh tells us something. What does it tell us? That the in Yosef B'Yis Yisrael is the in of Rosh Chodesh, which is what? That which you see, that which is tangible, that which you think you understand, the emes you don't. Because the Rabbanu Shalom loves us and loves the Shechina HaKadoshah so deeply that He fits His infinite self into that. And that's the secret of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The inyan of Pesach is, you know, with all the Vertlach and all the Inyanim and all the Zdachin that you're going to be involved with, take a second and just to contemplate the fact that whoever you think you are, you don't know who you are. You know, a Yidin, when we talk about obviously, so I have to love other Yidin. It's not enough to love Yidin. You have to look at a Jew as a sight. Every Yid is a sight, a secret. What's a secret? A secret is not something that's hard to understand. A secret is something that cannot be understood, that cannot be communicated. Whatever you think you know about the other Jew next to you, whatever you think you know about yourself, there's more to it. There must be. Because a Jew is the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is Ein Sof. A Yid is a sight. And that's why Haggadah, Chazal said, the word Haggadah means that whenever you communicate something that's a sight, you use the word Magid. Really, what's so secret about the Haggadah? It's pretty obvious. Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah. But this is how a Jew gets out of Gaulus. This is, like I started, this is the Ikar of Torah Sebaal Shem Tov. The Ikar of Torah Sebaal Shem Tov in Avodas Hashem is this cornerstone. Don't fight Yetzirahs, outgrow them. Don't fight smallness, outgrow it. Don't fight Gaulus, outgrow it. Realize that you're bigger than all these Maniyas anyway. Realize that you're a secret. You don't know who you are. We don't know who we are. The world doesn't know who we are. We don't know who the Shekhinah is. We have no hasag of anything. And embrace it, celebrate it. Rav Nachman said that before Mashiach comes, the beginning is not Pesach, the beginning is Purim. And Pesach is the way to capture Purim. The light of Purim is the light of Ad Lo Yada. Pesach says, take that Ad Lo Yada and zero in on yourself. Instead of there being just like general Ad Lo Yada, getting drunk and not knowing anything, focus in on yourself. You know, what is it that you don't know? I don't know me, I don't know my kids, I don't know my wife, I don't know the world, I don't know any Yid. It's all Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah mamash. You embrace Yiddishkeit. Torah is also like that. To Pesach leads to Shavuos. What is it that I'm learning in a Rambam or a piece of Gemara in a Pasuk Chumash? Sisrei Torah. What do you mean Sisrei Torah? I understand it. Sisrei Torah. Because it's packaged, it's put in a way that you could perceive it, you could articulate. It's the Shekhinah. But contained in that Shekhinah is Ein Sof. And you know what it feels like when you contact the Ein Sof? You feel more humbled. You feel more impassioned to delve deeper, at the same time knowing that you'll never get to the end of it, but you still are compelled to go weiter into it. That's the yichud of Kutcher Ruch Shchinte. All right, let me end off with a story, okay, very quickly. It's not really a maisa, I'll be honest with you, but I was thinking about it probably for the whole week already, and I can't really fully grasp it, but I guess that's the point. So I'll just share with you and we'll see what happens. So earlier in the week, there was the yard site of one of the great rebbes of Chabad, the Rebbe Reb Shab, Rosh Hashanah Tov Ber Lubavitch. So the Rashab was, in the history of Chassidus, he was one of the big, deep, like one of the greatest thinkers of Chassidus. So there's a mice like this. It's not a mice, it's more of a conversation. Just to show you about how deep the Rashab was and how deep his Chassidim were. There's a mice like this, he was by Farbrengen. And one of the Chassidim asked the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, what's a Chassid? So the Rebbe said, the Rashab said, a Chassid is a lamplighter. Because in those days, they used to have lampposts with literally a lamp on top. And he had a guy, his job was, he had a long stick with a fire at the end of it, and he would go lighting the lamps, you know, by nightfall. So Rashab said, a chassid is a lamplighter. A lamplighter knows that it's not his fire, but his job is to light the lamps that he comes in contact with. You understand the nemshal. Every year is a lamp, and the chassid means to light those lamps. It's not his fire. So then the chassid asked, but what if... No, the chassid said, Rabbi, really, that's a chassid? And the Rashab sat for a moment, thought, and said, yeah, that's a chassid. Okay? Then the chassid said, and what if the lamp is in the desert? Does a lamplighter have to light that lamp also? So the Rebbe Rashab said, yes, he has to go to the desert and lamp that light. Light that lamp. And when he lights that lamp, it'll become clear to the lamp that it's in the desert. And the desert will become ashamed of being in the presence of the lamp. And then the chassid said, and what if the lamp is in the ocean? So the Rebbe Rashab said, then the lamplighter has to take off his clothes and go into the ocean and light the lamp. And then the chassid said, and what if I don't see lamps? So the Rebbe Rashab said, then you're not a lamplighter. And the chassid said, so how do you become a lamplighter? So the Rashab said, you have to believe that you have a lamp inside of you, and you have to find your own lamp, and then you'll be a lamplighter. So then the chassid said, so to find my lamp, do I have to grab myself by the neck? And the Rashab said, no, not by the neck, but by the collar. Adkan, samaisa. It's pili ployim. Pili ployim. What does it mean? The lamp is in the desert. That's everything we're talking about. What if the lamp is in the desert? It's in a place of gullus, of cotton, surrounded by klipas. So what do? You have to light such a lamp. Shouldn't you first get rid of the klipas? No, you light the lamp. And then the lamp will realize it's in the desert, but then the most amazing thing is, the desert will be embarrassed of itself to be in the presence of the lamp. And what if you try to light the fire of a lamp that's in the ocean? The ocean means a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham means he has everything anyways. What are you going to convince him? So Rashad, you have to take your clothes off. And then you have to be just honest and pashut and speak. Because if you say a vertlach to a Talmud Chacham, it's like, okay, I know that already. And the Rashab said, in order to do this, is you don't grab the Jew by the neck. Because you're talking about, you have to give cover to a Yid. You grab him by the collar, but not by the neck. That's the secret of Chassidus. The secret of Chassidus is, to get Jews out of a desert, is that you light their lamp, and the desert itself will be embarrassed to be in the presence of the lamp. Hashem should bless each and every one of us, that we should miskash ourselves to the tzaddiki on this. We should miskash yourself to your tzaddik amit that you have over here. And each and every one of us, we should be zaycha to lamp our light, to light our lamps. And to be zaycha to be lamp lighters, to light other people's lamps. To realize that the fire is not ours to begin with. And what needs to be a chassid is someone that's just here to reveal the light of everyone else's neshama, which is the idea of the Shechina Kedosha. And by doing so, Golus itself will be embarrassed to be in the presence of the Jew. We should be zarech to experience that. B'naim niglim, ki ayin b'ayin yir b'shuv Hashem letzion b'gidus v'gol tzedek v'rachamim, m'her v'meinu, amen. Amen.